we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, to hear these words from Isaiah 55. Hey there, all who are thirsty, come to the water. Are you penniless? Come anyway. Buy and eat. Come, buy your drinks, buy wine and milk, buy without money. Everything's free. Why do you spend your money on junk food, your hard-earned cash on cotton candy? Listen to me. Listen well. Eat only the best. Fill yourself with only the finest. Pay attention. Come close now. Listen carefully to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. Seek God while he's here to be found. Pray to him while he's close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their way of life and the evil their way of thinking. Let them come back to God who is merciful. Come back to our God who is lavish with forgiveness. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work, God decrees. For as the sky roars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. So you'll go out in joy. You'll be led into a whole and complete life. The mountains and hills will lead the parade, bursting with song. All the trees of the forest will join the procession, exuberant with applause. No more thistles, but giant sequoias. No more thorn bushes, but stately pines. Monuments to me, to God, living and lasting evidence of God. Would you pray with me? And so, Father God, we are a people who are thirsty. We are a people who are hungry. We are a people who grow weary. And you have invited us to come to you, to come and eat and to come and drink and to come and find our rest. And we are a people who get so confused. And you've invited us to remember that your ways are higher than our ways. And so we can take you by the hand and just let you be in control. Father, we are a people who settle for so many things that pass away. But you've invited us into life, worship, intimacy with you, the living God, the one whom the mountains and the trees declare is Lord of all. And so we join this morning the song of all creation. We join the song of the heavens and the earth, and we declare that you are our God and we are your people. And so we rejoice in you. We trust in you. We hope in you. And it is a joy to our souls to be in your presence. Would you fill us up as we pour our hearts out to you, O God? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we turn to his word. We'll be in Leviticus chapter 25, and then we'll fast forward to the New Testament to Luke chapter 10. Leviticus 25, verses 1 through 7. The Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land I'm giving you, the land shall observe a Sabbath for the Lord. 6 days you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in their yield. But in the 7th year, there shall be a Sabbath of complete rest for the land and a Sabbath for the Lord. You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard. You shall not reap the aftergrowth of your harvest or gather the grapes of your unpruned vine. It shall be a year of complete rest for the land. You may eat what the land yields during its Sabbath. You, your male and female slaves, your hired and bound laborers who live with you, for your livestock also, and for the wild animals in your land, all its yield shall be for food." And then Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what's set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to your feet we wipe off and protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Then verse 17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name, even demons submit to us. He said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Would you pray with me? And now, living God, we turn to your word, not just to get a little bit more information about you. There's all kinds of tools and resources at our fingertips for that. Turn to your word, O God, because we are your children. And our hearts, our souls need, long to hear you. We know that you are alive. And we know that you speak. And we know that you call us your very own. And we know that you want us to know you, not just in our heads, to know you in our hearts with our very lives, to feel your presence and to walk in your ways. And so here we are. Oh, Lord, would your spirit move freely among us, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in just a few hours, we are moving into an interesting season here at BCC. A season that I don't think the church has ever actually walked through before. And that is the season of a pastor's sabbatical. There's been plenty of seasons here when a pastor left, right? And then there was like that interim time when a pastor filled in until a new pastor was come. You are very familiar with that. But this season is unique. The season in which the pastor, that's me, is leaving for a bit. And then that same pastor is actually returning. Promise. Yeah. At the end of a season, it's just a season. The key word is a season. And this morning, I just want to share with you from my heart just a reflection on what a sabbatical, what this sabbatical is, why Sabbath is a gift for all of us, and what my hopes are for me and for you, for us, over these next 3 months. And so just the first big question is, what is a Sabbath? The Sabbath is embedded in the very creation story itself, right? Genesis 1 and 2 is God creates the heavens and the earth. On the seventh day, God looks at all that he has created, and it is all very, very good. And God rests. God has a Sabbath just to delight in what God has done. Then you fast forward to the Ten Commandments. It's one of the big ten, where God tells his people that they will be set apart in the world by the very way they live their lives and order their weeks. And he says, observe the Sabbath, set it apart, and keep it holy as this day in which every single week, one day when you don't work, when you don't go out and produce for yourself, but you just sit back and you enjoy the goodness of God, the provision of God. You enjoy the people that God has given you to love. And first and foremost, you worship your God every single week. Sabbath is something that we are familiar with. It's ingrained in who our God is and the word he has given us. Sabbath is this day when we stop providing for ourselves, and we are all really good at providing for ourselves, right? And for 24 hours, we just trust God's provision for us. It's a day every week when we intentionally give up the busyness that keeps us running all over the place, and we just rest in this God who delights in caring for us. It's a day when on purpose we try to step away from all the noise in our world so we might listen for the voice of our Father. It's a day every week to get back in touch with our very first love. That is our Jesus Christ, to remember who he is, to remember how close he is, to remember how good he is, and to remember then who we really are in him. Apart from any job we carry, apart from any label that's put on us, apart from any success we've had, apart from any shame that tries to find its way into us, on this day, we remember we are his. And if we are his, then we are beloved children. We are created to be loved and to share love and to enjoy the gift of service. We are created to enjoy our God. Sabbath invites us into that reality every single week. And then Leviticus 25 talks about this extended Sabbath, this Sabbath year it was supposed to be. And every 7 years, God had set up this extended season of rest and renewal, not just for the people, but for the land, for every part of creation under God's order to take this one step away from the rat race and the typical schedule and things that go round and round and just have this long season of remembering who God is and who we are as his people. So Sabbath, if we see it through the right lens, it's not a burden, but it is one of the kindest gifts that the living God has given to his beloved children. It is one day. And then it's this long season with full permission for us, with no guilt attached, to step away from all of the things that busy our minds and that busy our hands, and to actually step into the fullness of God's love and God's presence. It's the greatest joy we will ever know, the gift of Sabbath, a whole entire day just enjoying our God, a whole entire season just resting in the arms of our God. And Sabbath was never meant to be a gift just for pastors and ministers, but it is a gift, a command, an invitation for everyone, for all of God's people. And so while I step into a season of Sabbath, I invite you in your own lives to find the rhythms of Sabbath. Don't miss out on one of God's kindest gifts that he has given you. It's yours for the taking. And if you haven't the slightest clue how to begin that, you get an awesome book today. You don't always get free books when you come to church, so if you're a guest, don't get used to it. But sometimes you do. And on your way out, there's this book, and it's an awesome book that a couple years ago I read, and it challenged me to find these rhythms of Sabbath in my very own busy life, and it has changed the way that I do my life. You know that my Mondays are my Sabbath days, my hanging out with Jesus days, and I wouldn't trade them for anything. And you can have that in your own life on whichever day, ideally a Sunday, but it could be any day when you and your Jesus have this time together. If you want to know where to start on your way out, take a book. There's plenty. There's tons. Everyone gets one. And so what do I hope for myself to gain on this Sabbath season that I'll step into after worship today? What am I looking for? What am I hoping for? And knowing this, how can you pray for me? Several things. One is just rest. As you've seen, if you've been around much this summer, it's been a busy summer, as it always is, a good summer. But we just go and go and go, camps and VBSs and all the things in between. But not just a busy summer. The last couple years have been interesting, have they not? In the world, in the church, in my own life. And just rest. Just rest from the next thing to put together, the next invitation to send out, the next sermon to prepare. Just rest and letting God take care of my heart just for a few months. I'm hoping to gain in these next few months this sense of deep peace, specifically about the future of the church. Not just our church included, but the church. Now, there's been a lot that has shifted with the pandemic, and one of those things that has shifted is what the reality of church looks like in the world. I mean, there are people that we have not seen that were part of our family since before the pandemic began, and we may not see them again. And there's people that have come in that were not a part of a church before the pandemic, but there was this deep hunger that said, I got to be a part of something else. We have these seasons where we're trying to get momentum going, just like VBS week, and then all of a sudden COVID breaks out at the same time. And you've got the highs and the lows side by side all the time. And you have these questions of what does it look like to give your life to this calling of serving the church when the future of the church is so different, so unknown, not what you went to seminary for. It's going to be a different future that we walk into. And just this peace, this God who says, Jamie, my church has gone through millions of changes, and here it is. My church has walked through pandemics many a times before. And other things. My church has been a majority movement and a minority movement. My church moves on and moves on. And just that peace in my heart that whatever the future of church in America is, that he's with me and I'm with him until he calls me on to something else, which may never happen. And that's okay. That's good, actually. I pray for peace. I'm hoping that during this season, there will be in my heart this deeper trust. This deeper trust that this is indeed God's church and you are indeed God's people. That I don't run this thing. The whole pastor-led church thing, it's a Jesus-led church. That I don't run this thing. That I get this wonderful gift of joining in with this God who is already here and always on the move in our midst. And I get to join him and look for him and point us to him. But I don't do this thing called church. This is God's church. And it's going to be a really good practice for me to just kind of let go for 3 months and see for myself that whenever I'm in a different country even, that the church just keeps being the church because it's not Jamie's church. And my own ego needs to know that some days, I tell you. And my own heart that's so quick to fear needs to know that it's not Jamie's church. It's Jesus's church. And he is here. He doesn't take 3 months to go anywhere. He is here. I pray that during this, that this would be a season for me to just fully enjoy God without needing to produce anything out of this enjoyment. So often as a pastor, I get to enjoy God in 1,000 different ways. And then I want to make that into a sermon or a Bible study or this or that. And I just want to have this season where I just enjoy him. And don't have to create anything for it, just to just enjoy him. And also to enjoy my husband without the distractions of everyday life that pull us in different directions. I am praying for a season of just real intimacy between my heart and Jesus's. Just hours upon hours to carve out time to just be with him and just listen to him. My biggest hope is that I return to you in 3 months, which tends to go by really fast, but to return to you in 3 months more in love with Jesus than I've ever been before. More and more in love. I want to come back with renewed energy and this new vision for our days ahead and just this excitement to share about our kingdom opportunities that God is putting before us and ready to lead us wherever God wants us to go, even if it's risky, even if it's crazy. I want to come back ready because I've had these amazing months of just hanging out, letting my heart rest in the hands of our Jesus. And so while you're praying that for me, I'm praying some things for you too. And what I'm praying for you guys for these next 3 months, and really the heart of it comes out of this story from Luke 10. Now there's this place in the Gospels where Jesus has now been with his disciples for quite a while. They've already seen him do all kinds of really cool stuff. They've seen him heal some people. They've seen him raise a boy from the dead. They've watched Jesus deal with criticism by now. You've seen that. They've heard his best sermons preached. They've seen him calm the storm. They've watched him go out and feed multitudes with just a few loaves of bread. And all through it, he's been right there by their side, showing them every single day who he is and who he says they are as his people. He's been right there. And then there comes this day when Jesus decides that it's time. It's time for him to step away just for a bit to see that these disciples might get a glimpse of who they are, even when he's not right there in front of them. And Jesus knows that this is going to be a really important season in their life, because he knows that there's going to be a day coming not very long away when they're not going to ever see him again, just how they're seeing him now. Eating with him, walking with him. They're going to have to learn in just a few months, a few years away, they're going to have to learn how to live by faith. They're going to have to learn how to hear his voice, how to walk in his presence in a whole new way. And so what happens in Luke 10 is kind of a practice round of sorts, where he's showing his disciples that they can actually be his people in this world, whether he's right there in front of them or whether his spirit is carrying them. And so my heart's desire in this for you, the people of BCC, is really a lot like Jesus's desire was for them, his disciples. I pray that in these next 3 months that we would see in every possible way that you are the bride of Christ, that we are his church in this zip code at this very time, and that we have his presence and his power within us to be the very people and to do the very things that are on his heart for us to be and that are on his heart for us to do. We can. We are those people. We can do those things. And so here's the instruction that Jesus gives the 12 or the 70 as he sends them off without him for a little bit. And his instructions, each one has become my prayer for you. Verse 1, the Lord sent them on ahead of him in pairs. You get that? In pairs. I pray that for these next 3 months that you would stay together. Jesus sent them in community, with brothers and sisters in Christ to do his work together. There were 70 going out, and they could have gone to 70 different places. But when you pair them up, that number gets cut in half. This pairing up seems less efficient, doesn't it? That doesn't matter to Jesus. He's never been about efficiency. Jesus is about the matters of the heart, and he knows in our hearts we were created for community. We need one another. In these next 3 months, don't check out because the pastor's out. Remember, this is not Jamie's church. This is Christ's church, and we are his people. And God has sent us a wonderful pastor to be in. Our friend Brian, you're hearing from it. We'll hear from him again at the end today. Don't be out. He has called us together to be his people. God has given us to one another, to share our gifts, to encourage each other, to grow together. If any of us bail, then we all miss out on the calling that God has given you to help us, his people. But if we all stick together, we will carry his kingdom in us and through us like perhaps we never have before. And so I pray that we stick together. Keep gathering around tables. Keep worshiping. Keep checking in with each other. Embrace new folks as they come in. Stay in community. Because Jesus knows that his people will be best who he's called them to be when we stay together. We've got to be together. In verse 2, he says to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." I pray that over the next 3 months that everyone in this church would commit to prayer. Prayer like we have never prayed before. Jesus sends these people out with a partner and a prayer. Sometimes that's all you need. A prayer for God's kingdom to keep moving into all the places that they're going to be hanging out. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? These next 3 months, might you be a people who pray God's heart for our church and for our community like never before. And might you pray for these visions of what could be to become realities among us of what is. That we would all in this place have a partner and a prayer. I pray for this. And then verse 3, he says, go on your way. I pray that our very best prayers would be followed up by feet that walk right into those prayers coming to be. Don't you love that? Jesus tells his disciples to go to God and God pray to God to send out laborers because our world needs more people doing the good work of Jesus. And he says, okay, now you've prayed that prayer. Now you go. Now you go and be the answer to the prayer you were just praying. What a great second part that we leave out quite often. What have you been praying lately for our church? Perhaps for growth, for good health, for mission, for deep discipleship to happen in this place. Perhaps you've been praying for a kingdom impact in Belfare through us, or a kingdom impact way beyond Belfare. Maybe you've been praying for intimate, real relationships to form in our midst more and more. Keep the prayers coming. Keep the prayers coming. And now Jesus says, you go and try to be the answer to some of these prayers that you've been praying. That's where it gets exciting. What have you been praying for Belfare lately? Maybe healing between neighbors in a divided time. Anyone been praying for less crime? Found a TV in our bushes this morning. It'd be nice to not see TVs in the bushes on Sunday mornings. Praying for healing and freedom from addiction. Help for folks living in poverty. Peace for our immigrant community. For the lost among us to know Jesus. For our kids and our teens to know that they're loved. What are you praying for our community? Keep those prayers coming. And then go and be part of the answer to the very thing that you've been praying. I pray for this season to be a season that's just full of folks who are on mission, who are praying their very best prayers, and who are joining in to see God doing the very thing he's putting on your heart to see happen in this church and in this world. Then verses 7-9, he says, remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what's set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Stay in one house, he tells them. It's an interesting command he gives, and I love it. See, these disciples are going to show up in these towns where nobody knows them. And there's going to be someone who takes a risk of hospitality and lets these two people in. And that's kind. That's risky. Well, by day two, they're going to start healing some people. And I tell you, when the first person with leprosy gets healed, the town mayor's going to call up and say, hey, those two people come to my house. I've got a guest room, turns out. Jesus says, don't do it. Stay in the first house that was open to you. Honor the host. Don't use people. Honor people. He says, heal the sick and tell everyone you see the good news that the kingdom of God has come near. What he's giving them in these verses is this beautiful call to care deeply for all the people they're going to meet, the people that will be placed right in front of them. Honor people, care for people, embrace people, love these people, proclaim goodness to these people. And I pray that in these 3 months, we would be a people who care for people really well. People in our own church family, people in our community, whoever it is that God puts on our heart, let us be the first ones to move to care for them in the name of Jesus and with the beautiful heart of Jesus. I pray that this would be a season of extra phone calls and extra coffee dates. The Starbucks would know that the people at BCC are just going to have them covered, whatever expenses they have, because we're going to be there. This would be a season of extra hugs on Sundays, and all these dreams of how to bless our community just begin flowing out of this very place, not waiting for it to come out of the pastor's office, but these dreams of blessing people flowing from you, the very people of God. Honor the ones who open their heart to you. Offer healing to the sick. Bring good news to the discouraged. Care for people. This is Jesus' instruction for his disciples while he's away. Care for people. And it's my prayer for us, the people of BCC. They go out and they do everything he said they should do. And then they come back in verse 17 and 18. They return with joy saying, Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. And he says, yeah, I know. I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. When the disciples reconnected with Jesus, they were absolutely floored by how God had actually moved through them. Jesus, they said, we saw the most incredible things. We saw with our very own eyes your kingdom advancing through us. We had no idea, Jesus, that we could actually be a part of that without you right here in front of us. Jesus, we now know what we never would have known if you had never sent us out to try some things without you right there doing it for us. So finally, I pray that come November 1st, that I come home renewed and energized and having been so close to Jesus, ready to tell you all the wonderful things that he's put on my heart. To find a congregation who cuts me off because you want to tell me first. These people who are just on fire, rejoicing together, so in love with Jesus as well, just as amazed by the wonderful things that he has done among us. You see, sometimes we don't even know what big things God wants to do and can do in and through us until things get shaken up just a little bit. And we get pushed out of our comfort zones just a little bit and our defaults go away. Well, just let so-and-so do it. When that's gone and it's just us. Jesus is calling on to be his disciples, to be his people, to share in his work when it's just us. And we do it. We see Satan fall from heaven as his kingdom advances in our midst. And there is nothing better. May these next 3 months not be just coasting through until Pastor gets back. But may they be 3 months of Belfair Community Church, fully alive in Christ. The people staying close to one another. The people committing to prayer and stepping into the mission that those prayers are stirring up. 3 months of people caring deeply for people. 3 months that will leave all of us completely amazed by what God can do. If we all jump in and take the mission, it will be that kind of 3 months. 3 months to get us ready for the next 7 years of walking with Jesus together. And we've got to do it together. That is my prayer for us, and you've heard my prayer for me. So let's embark on this next journey together. What do you say? Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you so much for these people that I love so much. I thank you that it's hard to step away because there's real relationships here and real love here, and you don't want to leave your friends for a week, much less for 3 months. But Jesus, I love my friends enough to trust that by me stepping away for a season, they might get to know your love even more and realize the gifts that you've put inside of them for the good of this community and for the good of our larger community. They might see those. through you, stepping into the places that I might step out of. And so, God, would you use this next season in our church's life to do more than we could ask or imagine? Would you bless each one with the gift of intimacy from you, O God, and from the church family? Would you bless each one with visions of your kingdom coming and prayers for that kingdom to come and the courageous hearts that step into the work of bringing that kingdom to this very place? God, could these next 3 months be a gift for all of us? And could we come back together November 1st just amazed by what you have done? Father, would you use my friend Brian and Lynn as they come to just bless the people of BCC? Would their words be your words? Would their presence be your presence? Thank you that they have felt your call and chosen to sacrifice time and gas and so many miles in their hearts to be in this place. Would you bless his leadership and help him reveal things about who you are that I could never reveal, God, because he has seen you in ways that are unique to him. And could it be a gift to us? And so we step into these next days with expectation, with joy, with hope, knowing that you are with us, O God, and you are growing us in every season. And we ask all of this in your most precious name. Amen.